Hey folks, this is False. Travis here. You have all three of us again this week. It was again remote, so there's some challenging audio delay that kind of makes it difficult to hear at some points, but I think I worked most of it out in post, as they say. This week we talked about Bernie Sanders and the sort of poison worm brain that is American liberalism. The whole, you know, meme thing being turned into Bernie's a misogynist or whatever the fuck that was all about. We talked about Julie Payette, the outgoing Canadian Governor General, who just, you know, apparently beats the shit out of her workers. And I don't mean to laugh at that, but I mean, just it's comical in the sense of how insane it is. Rick Mercer, he's saving us all. Don't worry, everybody. Rick Mercer is here to tell all the people to stay home. So now we're good. All right. You can also support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/thisisfalse. You can follow us on social media at thisisfalsepod. Specifically TikTok, where we're making a little bit more content these days. Some of it a little more serious in nature, some of it just random shit, because that's how TikTok is. That's how that goes. You can also go to twitch.tv/thisisfalse. Starting Thursday, somewhere around 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're going to live stream. Don't really know what we're going to do yet, but we'll figure that out. And maybe you can join us on there, and if not, whatever. We'll put it up on YouTube afterwards. All right. Enjoy the episode.
So I ordered some Sony headphones, and they sent me a pair of a quote-unquote Apple earpods. I don't think they're actually Apple earpods.
No, I don't. The cord is a dead giveaway that they might not be.
It came with like an Apple warranty and everything. I was like, this is a very convincing fake. But I don't think Apple makes these.
As we advocate for on this podcast, you got to respect the grift.
Got to respect the grift.
I love the grift.
Mo got grifted. Grift. That's how it goes sometimes.
I mean, I expected.
Sometimes you're grifting, and sometimes you're the grifty.
Grift is life.
Yeah. You live by the grift, you die by the grift.
Can that be a shirt? Can we have like various grift quotes? Like
oh my
live
God.
By the grift?
I would love that. I love
that
so much.
Yeah, I was talking with a friend of mine today, and we were saying how it's like the grift is always good while it's working, but that's the thing about grifts is they're always temporary and they have the potential to really fuck you over, and so you gotta really watch the grift.
Yeah, that's kind of life though, right? I don't know if that's grifting or just life in general.
Well,
that's true.
Mo, grifting is a lifestyle. You know?
There you go.
You gotta live the grift life.
What do you think the... I shouldn't say that. Never mind.
Go ahead and say it now.
No, I'm good. I'm totally good.
Well,
I want to get canceled when I'm rich, not when I'm not rich.
Whatever, I'm canceled. Join the club. It's fine. It's nice in here.
Many circles.
Yeah, you get canceled.
Definitely.
And you no longer give a shit.
You know what's really funny? Yeah. It's kind of funny, but also terrible, is there was briefly going to be a gimmick on one of the top wrestling companies called Cancel Culture. They had this whole thing going on where there was like someone who was portraying a hyper SJW, which is something I love. Like, I love that character. I don't know if you all saw the wrestler who was like, it was literally called Progressive Liberal and would just wear a Hillary Clinton shirt in the South.
Jesus.
And would just like make
That's
very
amazing.
Good points. And he was the villain because he was just like, we should have health care for everybody. Boo. Boo.
probably shouldn't have been wearing a Hillary shirt then.
Like, I'm with her. Boo. Boo feminism. Boo.
Boo feminism.
But they created this this cancel culture gimmick, and then the person who was portraying the SJW turned out to be a massive shitbag and was immediately fired because of all the terrible things he did. So that was ironic.
Amazing.
Or something.
Yeah. And true to form. Well, we have the woke president is in office now, so... I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but Joe Biden is the wokest president of all time, which I guess that's not saying much, but also he's very woke. Yeah, he's actually a leftist.
Whoa.
And also Bernie Sanders, our boy Bernie Saint Bernard,
yeah.
Who has been the topic of many quite annoying memes in the last couple weeks since Inauguration Day. I mean, I love the memes. It's just the pictures of Bernie in front of whatever. It's like, okay, that got old about 30 seconds in. But the, you know, the ones where yeah, he's like, true. You know, where it actually means something. It's pretty good.
I don't know, man. I'm here for it. I got nothing going on.
but I did see some, I found myself on liberal Twitter.
Oh, no.
Which is not a place I recommend going. I was pointed there by a friend of the show, AJ Wales.
Whoop, whoop.
And I went down a little bit of a rabbit hole with liberal Twitter and found out that people were calling Bernie misogynist because he looked grumpy when Kamala Harris was talking. Yeah, so that's if you're wondering what's on the mind of the American liberal, there it is.
This was the meme going around, yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, he was. Actually, he was, a man appearing grumpy, when a woman is talking, is the new misogynism.
That's bullshit.
I thought he looked like that throughout.
For multiple reasons. That's the thing. He always looks like that. No. He always looks like that. He's always grumpy. He just looks grumpy all the time. It's why I love him. He's just grumpy.
Yeah.
Also, Kamala's a cop. I'd be grumpy fucking listening to her talk too.
Yeah. I mean, but just like now the bar for misogyny, like forget that, forget that women are still paid less than men to do the same work. Forget that, women experience sexual assault and harassment at levels that don't seem to be really abating. Forget that, single mothers in virtually every country in the world, but especially in the United States and Canada, are struggling just to put food on the table. But no, the real misogyny is Bernie Sanders looking grumpy while Kamala Harris is talking. That doesn't sum up liberalism pretty succinctly, then I don't know what does.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, if he was there booing her and just being like doing a press conference and trashing her, he'd probably be justified. But
I was gonna say that sounds awesome. You should have done that.
But you could make a case. But like, I read about it after, and it was like, A, he's like 76. B, he wasn't the only one dressed looking very grumpy. There were like other dudes. Other femme folks. There were a lot of people who were just there looking grumpy because it's COVID. Many people in the American government are like hyper elderly, are at high risk for COVID, are also going to feel cold, etc., etc. And he also like clarified, like Bernie is such a inside Democrat centrist when it comes to the Democratic Party sometimes, that he went on CNN being like, oh, it wasn't my intention. I love everybody. Everybody's great. It's like, oh, I didn't even mean it. I was so happy. I just, you know, much love to Joe Biden's dogs and Joe Biden and Kamala and everybody. I retweeted him on Twitter. Like,
this is why we can't get attached to our boy Bernie. Because he just,
yeah.
Or any politician. It's not just Bernie. I mean, I love Bernie.
Other than my boy, like, Ralph Nader. There's a face you could love.
Oh shit, you got the reader. But yeah, like, they mean, like we said before, politicians are just tools for a movement. If you don't have a movement, you don't have anything. But just this, like, I mean, even if he was actually grumpy and pissed off, I mean, yeah, these are the people that literally kneecapped his ability to be president, sitting around him, the people who like stabbed him in the back so fucking thoroughly, and. Did so while risking Donald Trump winning again, because, you know, if it weren't for a pandemic, Joe Biden would have got fucking creamed. It's just amazing to me that, like, you know, he's supposed to, what, bend the knee now? Like, he's an independent. He's not even in the Democratic Party. Yep. Like, who fucking cares?
Yeah, he also, these same liberals were the people saying, if Bernie, like, there's so much talk about, oh, why doesn't the left unify and we should work with the liberals? And cool, to an extent, if you want to push people to the left or something and you want to work in a party to do that, sure, you can try. I do think Bernie's had some of that effect. He probably would have had more effect if he was outside the party, but cool, whatever. Like, you know, I'm not hating too much, but like, they were also like, if Bernie Sanders wins, we're not voting and where we might vote for Trump. I have to rethink my thing. Bernie didn't do that. Bernie was like, he endorsed Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, even though they screwed him, backstabbed him, kept him, like, blocked him completely, but also didn't even, like, acquiesce anything. They were like, we're giving you nothing. And he was like, thank you. I endorse you. Because, and, yeah. Like, I get it. Everybody wanted to get rid of Donald Trump. Cool, whatever.
It was kind of cuck move, I get, like, to be honest.
Yeah, I kind of wish he didn't. Do that, but
nothing wrong with that. It's a lifestyle choice.
At some point, and not to turn this into an American politics podcast because we have our own issues, but like at some point, the left has to withhold their fucking vote from these assholes. At some point, they do. The right does it. The right does it when people weren't sufficiently Trump enough, they just didn't get voted for, like in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
They actually have some semblance of a long game, and they don't really care if they're gonna lose this election because they'll win the next one. You know, or they'll figure out something else in the next one. Whereas, like the left just sort of like, well, I guess we got to fucking vote for these neoliberal war hawks who, you know, we're further away from than the difference between the Democrats and the Republicans. But
like with Georgia, like a big part of it was Stacey Abrams building a groundswell progressive movement to vote out Donald Trump over the last 4 years. And she gets a lot of, thankfully, people are like, yes, Stacey Abrams doing the work. Good job, whatever. But that was significantly anti-Trump and huge populism in terms of everybody was saying, oh, we're going to give you $2,000 checks. However that was interpreted, whether people meant we're going to give you $1,400 checks, actually, it may be in March, but maybe not, but I don't know yet. We'll figure it out. Or actual $2,000. Whatever that meant, that's what pushed people to vote. Like, it wasn't like a...
But this is the fucking problem, though.
Yep.
They immediately get control of everything. They can do whatever the fuck they want. And they're like, actually, fuck you. We're only going to give you $1,400. Go fuck yourself. Thanks for coming out and voting for us and getting rid of the evil orange man, but we're just going to fuck you harder to the ground. No big deal, though. Vote for us next time, too.
And
like, they're going to lose so thoroughly in 2022. I'm going to laugh. It's going to be great.
And that's the thing.
I'm looking forward
to like,
it.
It's like, people don't realize, like, you see a lot in American discourse about, like, we only have two parties, we can't do anything. Like, yes, you can. Organize with a third party. Even if you want to vote Democrat sometime, but there's always going to be another boogeyman that is going to be put in front of you saying vote for the Democrats, because that's like the one thing that like Americans could take from Canadian politics aside from everything else. But like that's the one thing. It's like because we have a third party that is relatively to the left of all of these liberal folks, you can actually get them to do something because they don't want to lose their votes to the NDP, so they will do stuff. That's how we got healthcare, basically. We have, like, minority governments. Can you imagine if there was, like, two Green Party U.S. senators instead of, like, those right-wing, like, Joe Manchin or whatever? Like, can you imagine even just that small change would make to American politics? But everybody keeps on being like, no, I gotta vote Democrat because... And sure, Donald Trump was extra terrible if you're an American, or, like, anybody, like, who doesn't believe in accelerationism... Like, you'd be like, yeah, of course, vote against Donald Trump and get him out, especially after Hillary lost, which that contest was a very different from this one in a lot of ways. But regardless, it was George Bush before that. It was Mitt Romney before that. It was John McCain. It was other George Bush. It was all these people that constantly you're told, like, this is the worst it gets. And then it always gets worse. But the real thing is that everybody in your political, like, leadership on both parties is god awful, and you need to build something else that can A, push these parties to do better, but also can be there to actually represent you, because money runs everything in your politics.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, like, you know, you mentioned George W. Bush, but like, you know, he's a liberal hero now. Liberals love him.
Oh, did you
liberals
see him hanging out with it's Ellen, the really bad boss? The like really horrible human being, like who's actually very horrible.
Yeah, Ellen can go fuck herself.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that struck me watching the inauguration was just how much like Hunger Games it was. Like, first of all, you have this big giant party that liberals are throwing for themselves, right? During a fucking pandemic. Like, come on, get the five people who need to be there into a room to do whatever they're going to do, and then, like, send everybody else home. It's a fucking pandemic, you psychos.
Do a Zoom meeting.
Also, it would have been an email.
like they do this in this stately, beautiful building, surrounded by like fucking like the entire American military, you know, making sure that none of the plebes get in because we don't want that. And then you have on top of that, you have the media fawning over the fucking, you know, monocolored dresses of Michelle Obama and Jill Biden. And like, it's just, it's so, we're like, it's just, I was just like, this is the Hunger Games. This is the Hunger Games that we're watching right now. Like, it's amazing
like
how
that every time it's like that every time
because of the military presence and the lack of anyone other than the elite in there. It just even more so was just like, what the fuck?
Yeah. It, the whole, like, the pageantry of politics is fucking ridiculous. The pageantry of, like, the pageantry of politics is ridiculous all the time, and in Canada and the U.S., and it's, like, you're right, with there being the pandemic and it being, like, kind of isolated from the working people, it's kind of extra eerie.
Yeah.
And the most that I heard, other than the Bernie meme from the inauguration, was about Dr. Jill Biden's dress.
Yeah.
And about, it was all about the dress. And I was like, okay, but like, I was looking for actual information on like, if any bullshit went down. I mean, like, you know, but it was just, all I could find out was the Bernie meme and the dress. That's it.
Yeah. And these like baby brained, fucking pablum mouthed, fawning, teary-eyed idiot liberal media just being like, this is a new day in America. The racism is over. Yeah. It's like, fuck off. Fuck off. Actually, fuck off. Like, I'm so done with it. Yeah, like, I'll never fall for another, I mean, I know I don't have, none of us have a vote, but I'll never fall for another Bernie-like campaign again. It just, no, fuck it. Fuck it all. We don't need it. We're going to have to organize outside of those systems, and having someone like Bernie's great, but that ain't it. That ain't the thing that's going to work to change anything. So fuck it. Done with these Hunger Game assholes. Launch them into the sun.
It's a depressing thing to think about, because in reality... Yeah, like Joe Biden represents, or his party platform is certainly the most progressive Democratic platform ever. But that's not saying much. And it's also like in the context of now, it's not. Because if you look at, like, I don't know if it was Harry Truman who was the one, but like the laws that were passed by like Republican and Democrat consensus include America's horrifyingly bad labor laws. Like, if you want to know why unionization and unions are suffering, like unionization is down and unions are suffering in America in particular, more so than in Canada, it's because their labor laws are significantly worse. Like, it's almost impossible to organize a union drive in America, which is why like here, if you get fired while trying to unionize or like something, there's usually some protection. Over there, like, there are so many reasons why you can lay people off before or during a union drive that you have no protection. And it's like...
I mean, speaking as someone who's been twice fired for trying to start a union, I'm going to go ahead and push back on that a little
bit. No, I mean, Canada is so bad, too. What I should clarify is, like, Canada also has terrible labor laws in, like, 1,000 different ways. But compared to the United States, we're not as bad in some ways. That being said,
we're not as bad on paper.
Yeah,
I like that argument. I don't like even entertaining that argument at this point. It's just like, nah, that's if that's your bar, then you need a higher bar.
Of course.
And I'm not saying that's what you're saying.
No, but yeah, I agree with you. But here's the other thing. It's like, what are these people really cheering? They're not cheering the end of racism, right? They're cheering a more seasoned hand taking over the American empire. Like, that's what they're cheering. I've been listening to a lot of like American politics stuff, and it's just like, oh no, there's like not even a question anymore. It's like, should America be the world hegemon? No, like, yes, they should. Like, there's not even a disagreement there inside the Democratic Party. Everybody's like, yeah, America is star spangled awesome. We should run everything and we make everything better. So it's great. And that's our politics. And oh yeah, racism is bad. And like, we kind of don't like white supremacists and neo-Nazis, but we're going to enable them across the world. And and also here, right? Like, it's just like, this is what you're celebrating. You're not celebrating any actual progressiveness. You're celebrating, in theory, like, this victory that you don't represent all these things, but you're still representing these things. And Joe Biden might be moderately better in, or like minorly better in some areas for the American people, kind of like a tiny bit, but in reality he's representing the same kind of things continuing. He's not going to do Medicare for all. He's not going to do all the progressive things he said he was. He also said he wasn't. The fact is, he was like...
No, he didn't say he was going to do any of that shit.
He was like, I don't care about Medicare for all. I'm not doing it. He did say he was...
Come on, man. I beat the socialist. Come on, man.
Listen here, like...
As soon as that happens, you know the thing. String him up. He should be strung up by his fucking...
Ev, can I hear you? Can we all do Joe Biden impressions for a second? Can we just have a conversation? Like, you see, here's the deal, though. You know, when I was vice president with Barack, you know, man, and, like, we did the thing where we were going to save the world... You know, I got two dogs, and okay, here's the problem, okay? Here's the problem, all right? When you look at what me and my dogs and my sons did, and you know, but Trump, listen, Donald, man, we need better Democrats and Republicans combined unity, but man, you know what I'm saying, man? You know, when I grew up in the South, when I was in Arizona, we had... something that was really, you know, the purple Mount Majesty, amber waves of grain, man.
Sir, the question is, what were you going to do in your first 100 days in office? I think you've gone off script a little bit.
That's so generally what happens,
Mr. President.
Well, Barack and I, is Barack, who's running? When I'm vice president and Barack is in the White House, what we're going to do is, and then we're gonna see in Michigan.
See, it's not angry enough, though. You're not like the thing that I love about him at this point.
He's just annoyed really that people are asking him questions.
Yeah, it's funny that we're talking about him as though he's like, he's actually like a more qualified person to be the president.
Oh my God.
He's like sort of been widely regarded as a fuck up since the 70s, who couldn't get anything done ever. And now he's a 78-year-old with a like sundowning anger brain, and like, yeah, like he will literally he'll get annoyed that the words coming out of his mouth don't make sense. He just starts yelling, like, you know how your grandpa probably did at some point when he was like advancing, and it's like, you know, you know, like, be like, well, come on, man, like, you know, me and Corn Pop, we were back on the, when I was the, hey man, you don't know what I did. I don't know you. Hey, come on, man.
Like, yeah, but I mean, like, at some point, like, people say, oh, he's sundown, he's this and that. But, like, if you do you remember that call? We talked about this on the podcast before. The call he did with, like, leaders in, like, the equivalent of leaders in the anti-racist movement.
The
NAACP. That's what. I didn't know who was in that call, like, who specifically, if there were other folks as well. He was not at all. He was just angry. He was just like, I talked about Charlottesville, man. Nobody else was talking about dude, everybody was talking about Charlottesville. Joe, Uncle Joe, like, everybody was talking. I fought racism forever. For 300 years, I've been fighting under racism. You don't know where I've been. What was he on? Like, he was just angry. What? He just sounds like an angry old dude.
He sounds like all of my uncles. He sounds like literally every uncle at every family event that I've ever been to, except he just, like, hides the racism a little bit more. That's about it. That's
but
the
he
only
doesn't
difference.
Even really.
Compared to my uncles, he does, but, yeah.
This is kind of the problem, but, though. Yeah, so many people. Yeah.
It's just, his platform is, like, not Trump. Well, come on,
yeah,
guys.
No,
why
that's
are you
the thing.
Asking
like,
me
now,
these questions?
Now,
I'm not Trump.
Just
right, I feel like he feels like his job is done now. Like, he won. He beat the orange man. And what do you want from me? And we're done. When it's like, dude, you're the president. Now you got to do the things. You fucking.
Yeah.
But that's the Democrats in a nutshell. You can't even put that all on Biden. It's like, well, what do you want? We won, so everything's fine now. It's like, people are dying in the street.
No, sir.
Like, they're being evicted.
We still need things.
being evicted and during a pandemic and they're dying on the street. And are you going to do anything about that? No.
But Travis, what are they supposed to do? They're just the government. It's like, yeah, they have a majority now in the Senate, but they don't actually have a majority in the Senate, you know, because they aren't actually...
They're disappointed by that. They're disappointed by that. They wanted a Republican Senate so they could point to the Republicans and go, that's why we're not doing anything. But now they have to come up with some other excuse.
Yeah, and they also have senators that are, like, conservatives who are like, we don't want to do the things you promised everybody. And they also have people who just, like, hate the American political system. And in my, it, like, a theory I have is that some of them just want to damage things as much as possible. So they'll just flip around and do whatever they can to just, like, damage the system. But, like, yeah, like... there's always going to be another thing that you don't have because yeah, you don't have a super majority in the Senate. So that does limit the things you were going to do, but you were never going to do those things. You were never going to do them. Just be straight up and be like, because I at least respect Joe Biden for saying, I don't want to do Medicare for all. I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. Here's what I'm going to do. Whereas like others don't do that. They're like, hey, like, did you know that America has had Medicare for all or that type of conversation, town halls and hearings and all this stuff for quite a while? Like, that's been an ongoing conversation. And they never did it. And they're not going to do it if they do it ever. You know? It's like incrementally wait for 20 years and then we'll give it to maybe people, but probably not. But maybe. But probably not.
Like when they would... when they just said they were going to raise minimum wage to $15 an hour in 4 years. In 4 years, though.
When the minimum...
but, like, they were asking... people were asking for that in 2012. Like, it should be $28 an hour now, for fuck's sake. Whatever.
Yeah, the $15 an hour argument is no longer accurate. Because no. We now need to make, like, at least $20 an hour. At least.
You know, and it's different.
At full-time hours too, you can't get fucking 10-hour a week jobs for that much. It doesn't do shit.
And if you're even if you're working for $20 an hour, if you don't have benefits, you're fucked anyway.
And in a lot of places, the cost of living is higher, so you need to pay them more.
And this is the thing. I mean, this to tie it into Canada. I mean, we have all these same fucking problems, right? Like, our minimum wage is woefully insufficient. We have a housing crisis. You know, we've got politicians out here being like, affordable housing," without like. Talking about the fact that affordable housing is not a real thing because like the definition of it is not sufficient, and you know, like it ties into everything we do. And I mean, even the COVID response, right? Like we're just never getting out of this. And even if the Canadian government did a 180 and actually started taking this shit seriously, which they're not, if we did, the Americans are never going to get their shit together. They're going to be dealing with that in 7 years. And because we live a fucking kilometer from them, we're fucked. Mm-hmm. We're never getting that back. Yeah. It's just, it's really fucking depressing at this point.
Yep.
You know, and the first thing Joe Biden said was like, hey, there's nothing we can do, man. Nothing we can do about this virus for the next few months. It's like, yeah, you fucking could shut down the economy, you fucking psycho. Like, you could.
But
you could
states' rights. But states' rights, Travis. How are you going to, the federal government can't do that because states' rights. They didn't fight remember the states' rights. That's, you know.
Yeah.
You want some DC fat cat bureaucrats telling people down in Alabama and Arkansas what to do? I don't think so. Not these colors don't run, as I say very often. Don't tread on me.
So before you mentioned Ellen, and I thought of a good segue, ooh, so I'm just going to force it now. Right back to Ellen hanging out with George W. Bush and being a terrible employer, an abusive employer. Did y'all hear about the other totally useless person that shouldn't exist getting fired from their job for being bad to their workers?
Ooh, do tell.
In Canada? Julie Payette?
Yeah.
Our governor general?
Yes. About time. Better.
Yeah, Julie Payette was she let go?
I think she resigned. She resigned.
She resigned. Yeah, because I don't think you can. She's the queen, basically. You can't just let her go. She has to decide. So Julie Payette resigned after a report, a very detailed and methodical report came out detailing her horrible behavior in the workplace, verbal and physical harassment of people who work under her, to the surprise of precisely no one. Who has been following her shit for the last few years. And also, you know, who cares?
Bye.
I mean, not who cares about her abusing her workers. That's a problem. But I mean, the position of governor general and the person who's in it just doesn't rise to the level of give a fuck for me. So
yeah, hard time knowing what to do with this. I genuinely don't care.
Yeah. But there, that was a thing. So this complaint. This is from the CBC. Complainants who took part in an independent probe into claims of a toxic workplace culture at Rideau Hall claim former Governor General Julie Payette's verbal harassment of staff crossed over into instances of physical contact, CBC News has learned. The claims of physical contact were reported in testimony given to Quintech Consulting during interviews and will be included in the final report, multiple sources said. Several sources with direct knowledge of the final report say Payette's workplace behavior went beyond screaming at, belittling, and publicly humiliating employees and included unwelcome physical contact that caused some participants in review to feel threatened.
Jesus.
The way they worded that, it sounds like they were basically saying, like, you know, yelling at people is totally cool. Like, we draw the line at unwelcome physical touch.
Went beyond screaming at, belittling, and
I mean, that's just what politicians do. But if you go beyond
That's what bosses do.
There you go.
If you can't stand the heat, go find another job, guys. Come on.
Who among us hasn't been screamed at, belittled, or humiliated while at work?
I see no hands.
Honestly,
Yeah.
Which speaks to...
So, anything else to say about Julie Payette?
Good riddance.
Fuck Julie Payette.
Yeah. Fuck Julie Payette.
I await to see what CEO job you're going to get, or what golden parachute you're going to get as you resign. It will be...
Well, we're paying her golden parachute. She's getting $150,000 a year till death, plus $200,000 in benefits from the Canadian taxpayers.
What?
Yeah, that's been the story today. Is like, what about this part of things? She gets feather bedded to have a nice fucking quiet life on our dime after doing this.
What?
Just eliminate the position. Why the fuck do we have a governor?
Listen, I understand why so many people are liberals here. No matter what you do, you're going to get paid for life. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome to government. Welcome welcome to the elite. That's what we do. Holy jeez.
You got the job. Now you don't have to do anything ever again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Congrats.
It's a shame you wouldn't have you would have to not have a soul to be in that role in the first place. Can you imagine? Can you imagine if like I just like think about how many people would be happy for like 1/10 of that, just like for the rest of their life. That's like the lottery. Isn't the lottery like you get like a certain like $5,000 a week for the rest of your life or something like that? Like, can you imagine how many people?
That's one of them.
Oh my god!
Like how old is she? She's only in her 40s, right? So she's probably got, she's rich, so 40 to 50 years left at $150,000 a year. That's doing okay. That's in the multiple millions of dollars.
So here's the thing though. Like I read this recently. If you invest like $6,000 into like the stock market, like none of us can do that. Most people can't, like 80 to 90% of people can't do that. But if you take that much and for 10 years you put that in, the estimate is that, like, with growth the way it is and, like, stocks and whatever, you would end up with $1 million in, like, 10 years anyway. Imagine if you just, in addition to all your other streams of income, which I'm sure she has, you just get $150K for essentially free. You pay some taxes off that and you just throw that somewhere. And then, can you imagine how much, like, millions of dollars she's going to create just for being a bad employer? And treating and destroying people's lives and probably causing significant harm and trauma?
Are you telling me that employers who create nothing of value sometimes act like assholes and get rewarded for it by capitalism? Are you telling, Mo, are you telling me?
I don't believe that.
Is that what you're telling me?
I don't believe
me?
That for a second.
That's some Noam Chomsky ideas right there.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, just the governor generalship is just one of those things that, like, I mean, and this is the thing too, like, you mentioned her other income streams. I mean, I'm sure she gets like paid speaking engagements, and because, like, what does she really do as governor general? You don't have an actual fucking job. Like, I know that she's got the pageantry and has to show up to places and whatever, but, like, what is she actually doing? Reporting to the queen? Like, what the fuck?
I don't think the queen's planning to use any authority in Canada anytime soon, but
hell, maybe she should. Fuck.
Travis endorses monarchy on this podcast. Yeah.
Travis is a monarchist.
What a turn.
Secret monarchist.
Anarcho-monarchist? I'm into it.
I'm sure there's people out there who claim to be anarcho-monarchist.
Oh, God. Probably. I'm going to Google this after I'm this sure podcast. Ugh.
So, speaking of employers, bad employers.
Yeah, let's drop the other one. Ugh.
Yeah, so CBC, there's a lot of stuff about employers, but this is from the CBC. And I just kind of wanted to have a basic discussion about this, because this is more of a, like, what is CBC doing conversation than anything else. But here's the article from January 24th, a couple days ago. Should governments name workplaces that have COVID-19 outbreaks? The pros and cons, according to experts.
Like, okay, really?
Should governments name workplaces that have COVID-19 outbreaks? Don't worry, CBC's got your back. We're going to break it down. We're going to give you the pros. We're also going to give you the cons of doing
that.
What are the cons? Like, maybe, did either of you read this article?
No, I don't know if I can.
Okay, perfect. Without looking, can you think of a con? What would be the fucking con?
It's scary. It could create panic, Travis. We're trying to have a good time.
It could slow the spread. Travis.
The economy, Travis. What about the invisible hand of the economy?
So the con, according to Cynthia Carr, an epidemiologist with Epi Research Inc. of Winnipeg, says naming businesses could backfire. She said that it could actually scare employees into not reporting feeling sick if they fear being blamed for bad publicity for an outbreak.
What? Does that make any sense?
At the same time, she worries it could create a stigma around businesses that might have good safety practices but still had an outbreak.
Fuck off.
What the fuck are we talking about here?
That's so ridiculous.
We're fully willing to just kill people. Like, literally just, yeah, fuck you, die of COVID, die with fluid in your lungs, in order to, like, save businesses who might have a stigma issue because of an outbreak at their...
so stupid.
I just can't... The cruelty of this shit is just fucking remarkable. And why is this in the CBC? Really? No. You dumb motherfuckers? You couldn't think...
That's more Windsor Star caliber. That's not CBC. Come on.
Gotta show both sides, though, I guess. Fucking Christ.
Both sides.
Employers should be forced to say when they have an outbreak. The government should announce workplaces that have an outbreak so that people who work there can know if they've been exposed to the fucking virus. And if people who know people who've worked there or know people who know people who work there. Like, think about Chrysler, the huge outbreak that might have happened at Chrysler. We don't know because it wasn't reported. How much did that lead to spread? Right?
Yeah.
Like, if there were, like, some people were saying as many as 200 people were tested positive at the FCA plant. Like, those people all have families who all have families who all have families. Everyone, we know, all of us know a dozen people who fucking work there.
And we talk about this all the time.
This is why you name it.
That, and that's also how this, like, people are just like, because the pandemic is still spreading despite a quote-unquote lockdown and a quote-unquote stay-at-home order where Donald Trump, Doug Ford... But Doug Ford is like, I'm going to trample, I'm going to put these people in a chokehold and deliver a stone cold stunner. And he started speaking in other languages to try and make his point. Did you hear? By the way, did anybody hear Doug Ford try and speak other languages?
A la maison.
Gar Rahir. Like, he tried to speak Urdu and all these other ones. He was like, Gar Rahir, please. Mat Karo, and it was just like, no, Doug, no. But, like, what is he doing? Oh, like, everybody is flaunting this, but this is how it's spreading. Like, it's like, because people have to work, and there's no, there is no precautions. I'm wearing a mask and I get a little bit of hand sanitizer. Like, those are the protections most places are doing. Have you, like, I haven't thankfully been outside for several years, so I couldn't speak to the safety regulations. But there, from what I've heard, and you know, I'm obviously being facetious, but they're not effective. So obviously, where do you think this pandemic is spreading?
Yeah. I mean, because you can only blame people in the parties they're having for so fucking long before it starts to sound ridiculous. And, you know, and then people go, well, and then, you know, this is why, like, that sort of paranoia that exists in the, like, sort of Trump brain idiots, I kind of get it almost, because it's like, they look around and go, well, we're in lockdown and it's not working. It's like, yeah, because we're not actually in fucking lockdown, right? Yes. And so it's like, can you blame these people for not trusting the government to tell them to, like, the government doesn't know what the fuck they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, like, you're right. Like, it's not an actual lockdown. And even the businesses that, you know, are outwardly showing that they're following procedures, there's still so many that just completely disregard the procedures that they're supposed to be following. There's businesses that shouldn't even be open right now that are open. It makes no fucking sense. And, I mean, before, you know, a couple months ago when we were all kind of cautiously walking around and going to stores and stuff like that, because we thought things weren't, you know, as bad, or we were tired of being at home all the time. How many stores did you go into where there were people not wearing masks, where there was overcrowding? It was constant. And it's all in workplaces. I haven't gone to a fucking party in months and months and months. Mm-hmm. Like, it's workplaces. It's obviously workplaces. Everybody can see it.
What do you mean? What do you mean it's workplaces? Are you sure it's not?
Yeah.
Are you sure it's not?
What could I possibly?
Are you sure it's not the evil communist takeover by Justin Trudeau and Doug Ford, who are going to implement full communism in the style of socialism with Maoist characteristics, as written by the Honorable Xi Jinping? Because that's where the COVID truthers go, which is kind of funny. It's like they read the first chapter of a book. And they really got that first chapter, but then they just made everything else up because they didn't want to read it. We're like, yeah, things aren't working.
Yes, I would love to kill 120,000 landlords in a public square. Can we have socialism with Maoist inflections?
Yeah, that'd be great.
Parody satire.
You know,
parody satire.
What the actual cause for this second wave is, it's all of the Black Lives Matter protests that we went to. That's what caused this.
Nine months ago.
Yes.
Yeah, 9 months ago. Yeah, that's what... It's those. Those and then all of our other leftist, anarchist, Antifa parties that we have.
The radical Maoist, Marxist, Black Lives Matter, Antifa totally caused COVID to start a revolution in a video game.
Completely.
That's what happened.
It's okay though, guys. We're going to be fine because now Rick Mercer's on the case.
Oh no.
Our boy Rick Mercer has been hired by the Ontario government to tell people to stay home. So now everything will be fine.
Hi, Rick Mercer here. Like so many people, I cannot wait for this long, horrible movie called COVID-19 to come to an end. I am desperate for things to get back to normal in Ontario. Back to the days when we could eat in a restaurant or go to a show. Back in the good old days when we didn't watch Doug Ford every single day at 1 o'clock. And in order to make this happen, I'm taking Doug's advice. Doug told me to stay home. I'm staying home. And I know a lot of people have said the whole stay home thing is very confusing. It's actually not. It just means stay home. And I know people say, yes, but there are loopholes, there are exceptions, and that's true. But just because technically you're allowed to do something, it doesn't mean you have to do it. Just because you can buy pool noodles on sale at Walmart doesn't mean you have to. And nothing is stopping anyone from purposely slamming the car door on our hands, but we all avoid doing that because it's bad for us. Now, if I could just for a moment talk to those people who are between the ages of 18 and 29. Currently, you're in the lead when it comes to getting COVID and then passing it on to others. And I understand why. It is a scientific fact that people between the ages of 18 and 29 lead far more exciting lives than anyone else. After 50, compared to you guys, we're all dead inside. But still, you have to stay in. And I know if you're a young person and you hear that you have to stay in, you're thinking one thing. You're thinking, hang on, is the government telling me I can't hook up? Well, the answer to that is yes, that is correct. Doug Ford is personally imploring you to not hook up. And if you are tempted to do so, just imagine Doug in the room with you, just 6 feet away in a hazmat suit, and he's watching you. And imagine the disappointment on his face. Don't do it. Stay home, stay safe, save lives.
How about Mark Critch? I would listen to Mark Critch. Oh, please, no, no more of those walking rants. Oh, my God.
Oh, fuck. Don't get me started on Rick Mercer. Ugh.
Walking down an alley with graffiti on it, fucking ranting.
Here's the deal with COVID, okay? COVID is real. The science points to it. Yes, the government is overreaching in some areas, but COVID is real. You're gonna affect people. That's my 1 minute RMR rant. Tune in, like Mark Critch, please. This hour is 22 minutes. Please come through, Mark Critch, please. Mark Critch, hire Mark Critch. He's funny, actually. Can he come through? Oh God, I can't stand those rants.
I don't know if you saw this Rick Mercer video. But he's basically doing the same thing that Doug Ford is doing. I mean, he's literally been hired by the Ontario government to, like, talk to people into staying home. Because Rick Mercer has that much fucking sway. And he talks about young people as being the problem. The 18 to 29-year-olds. Which, name me one fucking 18 to 29-year-old that even knows who Rick Mercer is. I know that you're technically in that age group, Mo, but you don't count.
No, you don't count.
Yeah, because I had to put up with his rants for a billion years. They were all awful. And I had nothing better to... No, people advertised... Like, there was, like, every election, he'll do this weird, like, rant. And people will be like, oh, look at Rick Mercer. And it's like, nobody cares. It would get, like, 5 views. And people are like, look at how great... And despite everybody sharing it, I'm like, did the people who shared it are the only people who watch this random not... It's like Steve Pagan. Canadian... Ontarian, specifically, comedians or, like, news hosts are the worst, other than the really cool racialized ones, like Janelle Amasa and Supriya Dwivedi and those folks. But these, like, weird Canadian, the white guys except for Mark Critch. Mark Critch is amazing. I love me some Mark Critch. That guy is actually funny. Like, you know who they should have hired? Sachi Cole from BuzzFeed. Sachi Cole would have been hilarious. Yeah.
I mean, but that's the thing is that, like, but the government would, like, the government of Ontario would not hire someone like that, right? They're going to hire someone who is sort of a conservative, liberally, like, guy who appeals to all political parties.
He already has, like, the government of Canada stamp of approval. Like, yeah. He's acceptable enough to hire.
Because he's so bland and so stale.
Mm-hmm. Sachi Cole, you know, Sachi Cole being sort of a social democratic lefty-ish, for being generous, person is like, you know, they're nobody knows who they are either. Nobody cares.
Yeah, Sachi Cole like works. I think still works for BuzzFeed. Has a podcast. Wrote a book. Is really funny. Fun fact: I met her in Waterloo one time when she was doing a book signing, and she was hilarious. She was like, hey, look at there's only like a dude. Check out my two brown people in the crowd. It was great. You should definitely follow her on Twitter. She's really funny.
Yeah, I've heard her a lot on Canada Land. I think she was on Canada Land. Used to be anyway.
Yeah.
But Sachi would be talking to people who already are staying home and doing everything they possibly can anyway, because, like, that's most fucking people. Rick Mercer, the idea with Rick Mercer is to get the people who are sort of like skeptical of that, or maybe are just too old to give a shit about it or something. But then he spent his time in the video ragging on 18 to 29 year olds for not. It's like, yeah, we have to fucking work. I'm not in that age group.
But... Yeah, not only are they not your fucking demographic anymore, but they're not your demographic, but like they also have to fucking go to work. It's not like they don't want to. 18 to 24-year-olds don't want to die more than other people.
Didn't we just go over last episode how, like, the youth demographic in terms of COVID is, like, literally, like, kindergartners and, like, less than teenagers?
Yeah.
Like...
Yeah, because they're being forced to go to school, too, right?
Like so literally, they just hired
Rick
Mercer.
They're back in Ontario this week.
So they hired Rick Mercer as a propagandist, essentially, but also did a bad job because, if you want to appeal to the COVID truthers, listen, if you want to appeal to Doug Ford, this is my message to you. If you want to appeal to the COVID truthers, hire me. I will create a video. It will not be effective because my name's Muhammad, but I will give you.
I was going to say you're too brown.
You can voice over it. You can voice over it or something. I'll speak. I'll use my white voice. I'll talk about pro wrestling a lot. It'll be great. But
my name is Mike Anderson.
I got some stories about Mike, but my name's Joe Smith, and let me tell you what the real conspiracy theory. We talked about this before. Remember, we should create this, which is, Ev, you weren't there for this, and I would love your thoughts. We should create a video where it's we expose the real conspiracy, and the real conspiracy is that COVID is an evil scientist drug created, disease created in a lab. And is actually really effective. So the real way to deal with and the plan is to make all the conservatives and all the people sick so they can't vote as part of an evil communist plot, a secret postmodernist neo-Marxist takeover of Canada. And in order to stop it, you have to take the vaccine, which will prevent microchips being installed in your brain, which will make you vote communist and believe in and read State and Revolution and join in a Bolshevik conspiracy. Therefore, you have to take the vaccine and the deep state because you got to fight the deep state, and the vaccine will give you anti-deep state protection, and it'll disable any microchips already existing in your system. You could do something like that, and it would probably be more effective than anything.
No, that's amazing. We absolutely have to make this very important piece of media to reach the people. Because as I've been told by my family members, Agenda 21 is a thing, and there's going to be a global reset. So you got to make sure that you have the guns, and that you got to make sure that all of the anti-COVID people or the COVID truthers, they're all together. Got to make sure they're all in a group together. Without masks, and you just got to make sure that they'll be safe that way. They'll be safe that
yeah.
way.
In a video
it's
game.
It's going to be fun. Right.
It's funny, you mentioned the microchipping thing, and I don't know if y'all saw this, but the shit that, it's funny, because again, right-wingers, well, I shouldn't just say right-wingers, because there's right-wingers who are rich, who are a particular kind of right-wing, and then there's the petit bourgeois right wing that's much more conspiracy theory oriented, but this sort of conspiracy theory right that they latch on to Bill Gates, right? Mm-hmm. As he's microchipping you with this fucking vaccine or whatever, but it's all conspiracy theory starts with the grain of truth, right? And it's not that he's microchipping anybody, but the idea that Bill Gates is a fucking shifty motherfucker who's trying to control the world is absolutely true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know if you saw the thing that he now owns more farmland than anyone else in the United States.
I didn't see that, but that's not surprising.
And he also, there's also was it, what country was it? I want to say it was Ghana. I could be wrong about that. But he intercepted vaccines going to Ghana and redirected them to the United States.
What a fucking piece of shit.
Bill Gates has the ability to do that.
Yeah.
So, can you really I want to take some of these conspiracy theorists and be hey man, it doesn't have to be a crazy thing about a microchip. Just look at what he's actually doing. It's fucking worse than microchipping. It's worse. Yeah.
If you make a video that's got all sorts of cool effects on it, and we get Mo to voice it in his white voice, obviously, and we just say the truth about what's happening, maybe they'll pick up on it. All you have to do is throw in some buzzwords.
That's what Hassan Piker does, right? Basically, he sounds like a conspiracy theorist YouTuber, but he's actually just saying shit that's really going on.
He also does something that I've always wanted to do, which is he uses the term brother a lot, and I did that a lot during my hyper less mature phase, because I was just I picked it up from Hulk Hogan and just ran with it, and I'm just let me tell you something, brother. And that's what you can do here. It'll make you sound like all of these conspiracies. Just so he always throws that in where he's let me tell you something, brother, and that's not how it is, brother. And then it's is he doing that the same reason I do that? I think there's a thing there.
One
I've been trying to get into Hassan. I've been trying to get into Soundpiker, but it's hard to get past the affectation. But I'm sure I will. I know that he's been on a couple different like Chapo Trapos episodes, and I've really enjoyed them. So I should give him more of a shot. But
his bro character is so extreme, and it makes sense with his audience because he appeals to a bunch of kids, and he's just like, I was a scared, immature kid too that nobody liked, right. And no girls liked me, and now I'm big and buff and a model, and everybody likes me. And like it works.
Yeah. He is also trying to radicalize kids, which, you know, sure, yeah, we need more of that. Lord knows my fucking rants aren't doing that, so
yet.
So we're approaching time, and I wanted to make sure to hit on.
Oh my god, we have so many things. I have two things I want to go for. I'm gonna talk less so we can get through.
Okay, no, do it, because I was gonna do like wrap up plug stuff, so we can do that at the very end. But if you got stuff to like content to talk about, let's.
Yeah,
do that first.
Did you? I thought this was the awful fired CEO you were gonna talk about, but did you hear about the guy who flew him and his wife to the Yukon to steal vaccines?
Oh Jesus! Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I didn't hear too many of the details. I just saw the headline and was like, I can't absorb that right now. So tell us about that.
Well, I'll tell you this. So this man is the old CEO. He got let go for controversies, quote unquote, from some large gambling corporation that runs a bunch of casinos across the country. So he has massive amounts of wealth, like absolutely huge, sickening amounts of wealth. And he flew his wife to the Yukon to steal vaccines that were designated for indigenous folks and pretended to be a hotel worker. He pretended him and his wife were hotel workers so he could steal vaccines, be like, oh, we really need vaccines because we're common folk. Like, I don't know how he pulled that off, but he did. And the government of Yukon's investigating people, like, how did this happen? How dare this guy? And yeah, he might get like an $1,150 fine. So, you know, it's all kind of even Steven. Can you believe this?
The punishment fits the crime.
That was one of those stories that I saw and was just like, no, I can't absorb that one today. It's not.
No, that's.
I'm too depressed for that one.
Well, sorry.
Yeah, that's like.
Whoops.
It's okay. Now it's fine. When I'm on the podcast, I'm happy. It's like the only thing I do that makes me happy.
The sad malaise of life has eaten away at Travis's heart. He's lost his revolutionary optimism. Someone give him something. Someone give him something to read.
I'm all out.
I'm reading. I reordered a copy of The Myth of Sisyphus and Other Essays by Albert Camus. So I'm going to be diving into the existentialism very shortly. You're
changing your name to Travis Holden Caulfield.
that's
good, Travis. Camus Travis is the one that doesn't actually care about anything but does it anyway.
Ooh.
No, Camus is incredible. Actually, I've read The Myth of Sisyphus a couple times, and I just lost my copy and went to read it the other day. I was like, I don't know where that is anymore. Probably lent it out to somebody. But we'll do a whole episode on The Myth of Sisyphus. Ooh. By Camus at some point, because I think it's like one of the most fascinating piece of writing ever. So, but did you have another thing you wanted to run down quick?
Yeah, I don't know if you saw this, but this is going around the university circles, and I've seen this shared a lot. Like every one of my like university working people, friends/graduates are sharing it. But did you hear about the Concordia story where like a student was listening to lectures of his professor and he was emailing this professor? And then he found out this professor died 2 years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
I heard about that. What the fuck?
This is some, like, literally, there is nothing true that COVID truthers say is Big Brother, but this is literally Big Brother stuff. Like,
Yeah. That freaking blew my mind.
Again, you don't need a conspiracy theory. You don't need it. The truth is crazier. No, just look at the truth.
Yeah, look, if this professor put
really nuts.
If this professor put these lectures on YouTube and then died, it would be cool. No, I'm joking. Holy crap, this is horrifying. This is terrifying.
Yep.
It does bring up a lot of questions of like intellectual property and who owns it. And you can see this being a thing already without the professor having to die, right? Where because everything's online this year, what's to stop universities from just
faking classes,
rerunning classes from previous semesters, right, without paying a professor again?
All your classes are just run by one person who's just like typing away at like five different computers.
Yeah, basically, like like we're turning it into a master class, right? You know that master class bullshit thing that you can get like Aaron Sorkin to teach you how to script, right? Which, why the fuck? But like,
speaking of people walking in hallways,
my grandmother got me that one for Christmas. My grandmother got me that one for Christmas. No. It's batshit insane, but yeah. So like, that's what we're turning to now. Mm-hmm. Just like the professor only has to do the class once. And then the university just never has to pay them again.
Well, they already don't pay enough. And like, actually, I'm going to shout this out. Something I just learned. Friend of the show, my sister, tagged me in this thread that University of Windsor students were talking about, and they're like TAs and GAs, and they were like, "Hey, like, we haven't been paid in 3 weeks, and like, we got our contracts on the very last day. So like, even people who have signed their contracts, there's no justification, and they're just like, what do we do? Like, who do we talk to? And it's just like, how are you not paying these people? Like, how do you even justify that?
I mean, I've been a
professor. You're unionized. You have a union.
I basically have a PhD and I've been a professor and I'm broke as fuck. I got paid nothing to do that. Like, it's not a high paying job anymore. It's just not. People who already have tenure, who are all older, it doesn't exist anymore. There are no tenure positions anymore. Mm. They're getting eliminated. And, you know, it's, you know, I don't even know how I totally feel about that, because I don't think that, you know, professors need to make $300,000 a year either. But you know, they should be paid very well. They have to pay all this money for education. So, but yeah, it's remarkable how quickly post-secondary education has just gone completely to shit in a matter of a couple of decades. It's completely 180'd, and now we're seeing the full completion of that. Because I mean, universities have wanted to go online forever. COVID just gave them the excuse.
Yes.
And if we think they're going to go back willingly, we're deluding ourselves.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. And I mean, like, to an extent, they have to, for like, until like things are actually figured out on a safety lens, but they're not looking at it from that lens at all. Like, this minimizes their cost. And like, the pandemic has also destroyed accountability, because like, you can email people and you can try and call them, and it's like, as you would expect, you're not getting through anywhere. So like, all these students haven't been paid in 3 weeks and have no idea what to do, because they're just like, nobody's responding to me. Who do I talk to? What can I do? Though they have a union and they still can't figure it out, right?
Well, let me tell you, being a former executective in that union, I can tell you it's not a great union.
Yeah, and so like, I directed people to
the
National.
Depends on who the executive is.
Like, literally, I was like, yo, go talk to the National Union. You reach out to your local union, but reach out to the National Union. Maybe they can do something. Like, there's at least some pressure that a National Union can put on you. So that's, hopefully.
Most of them don't even know they have a union. Like, I remember when I was working with that local, like, half of our work was just informing our members that they had a union. Like, the university does nothing to tell them. The university doesn't give them any information regarding their union. And the union is so understaffed. And like, there's like, you know, 900 or something members. And there's an executive of 4 people. They can't really do all the work that needs to be done. And they're also in grad school. So, like, they're doing that. And so basically, like, you know, people go their entire graduate education without knowing that they have a union, which is crazy to me.
At other universities I've worked at, I've seen how effective people know about the union first. Like, that's the first thing they know about, and they're very connected and involved, and like, they get a ton of benefits. And obviously, like, that union is a little bit bigger, they have staff, whatever, but like, there are small unions the size of the Windsor one that probably have the same dues. So obviously I don't know the history, but why don't we have that? And like, is it just because part of it, and this thing that I was going to mention, is like, this union has in particular faced a ton of impact from the university just coming down on them. An activist leadership and representation in their union, those people get pushed out hardcore. Because Windsor is an authoritarian pile. Hopefully that will thaw over time. that is the dream. That is the small little wave of dream, but it doesn't seem to be happening anytime soon. But yeah, no, it's really unfortunate. This is just like bad. This has been a bad week. A really bad week.
Well, it's just, it's incredible to me too, because you think about, like, is there any other unionized worker on that campus that they could get away with that with? And the answer is no.
No.
Right? Like, the secretary's union would be like, fuck you, what the fuck? The WUFA would bring hellfire down upon them if they tried to not fucking pay them on time. Like, that's the faculty union, in case people aren't familiar with it. But, you know, and then there's the professional union, 1393, and, like, you know, the idea that any of them would just not get paid for a number of weeks is insane. It wouldn't fucking happen.
Yep.
But because they're grad students and they don't really know what's going on, and like the precarity of their positions going, you know, 4 month to 4 month contracts, like, we can get away with it with them because we know there's not going to be pushback. And that's exactly why they fucking do it.
100%.
It's horseshit. I wanted to bring up two things really quickly. So Mo, you've started doing some things.
Woo!
You were serious about Union Hype House, and now it's a thing, and you've done an interview. So why don't you tell the folks about Union Hype House and where they could find your content?
Yeah, so I've started a new project called Union Hype House. My goal is to hype unions and progressive politics. One particular content I'm going to aim to do is stream union speeches across the globe, but primarily in like Canada, America. And just talk about them and critique them. Like, that's like long form what I want to do. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, like, I'm going to have Jerry Diaz's founding Unifor convention and just gush over it, because I love Unifor leadership speeches, because they're just shouty and emotional. And that's what I'm down for, as well as some.
And they back it up. They back it up with nothing. But hey, the speeches are great, though.
Hey, I'm a Unifor truther. But yeah, so I did an interview on YouTube with Richard Winger, who runs this blog called Ballot Access News, where he's been categorizing for years all the little problems we don't, like, not little, very huge democratic failures in the American system that we just never get to see, because Canadian, like, perspectives on American politics is just like, haha, two parties go brr, and that's it, and that's all we ever talk about. But, like, there's so much more to it about how messed up their system is. And so he's got, like, a blog with, like, 5,000 or more posts about how bad it is, and the ongoing changes of how bad they are. So it was my first interview, so I didn't do great. He loved Canada, which was really interesting, it sounded like. But he really...
Well, most American progressives do, because they don't know what actually goes on.
Yeah, they're just like, compared to us, you're so great. You do it so much better than us. But it was a really nice interview. First time we talked, I thought it was kind of fun. So check it out and subscribe at twitch.tv/unionhypehouse. And then also check out my YouTube channel from the Twitch channel, because I don't have a custom URL yet, because I don't have enough subscribers. So also subscribe. Let's get us on the road to 1,000. Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. And then
awesome.
So this is our first crossover podcast. Ooh. Second, because there's Chud City too,
which has been replaced. I don't know if I can ever revive. I can't live up to the name Chud City. The branding was too good. And not saying Union Hype House is bad, but, like, Chud City implies some, like, really revolutionary, cool, very, very internet-based thing. And I don't have the time to stream every day and make YouTube videos. So I had to switch something more manageable.
That's why you go with a name like This Is False, because then nothing's expected of you.
That's right. We can say whatever the fuck we want.
There you go.
Yeah, because it's all false. This is false.
Yeah, this is all parody satire. We're all secret COVID truthers.
we haven't had a guest in a while because, you know, COVID is making that fucking impossible. So, because doing this, like, Zoom stuff, it doesn't always work so well when, you know, maybe your guest doesn't have the proper technology, and, you know, that can be a big issue. I've actually tried to do two interviews that I haven't told either of you about because they were going to be surprises. Ooh. I'm still trying to do them, but we haven't been able to work out the technology. So next week we're going to have Liz Singh, who is a Montreal-based filmmaker. We're going to have her on. She released a movie a couple years ago called The Lower Plateau, which I urge you all to go check out. I'll leave a link in the show notes for this week. And then we're going to have Liz on next week. Liz is a progressive activist and a filmmaker. born, I believe, born and raised in Windsor. I could be wrong about that. I believe that's where she hails from. But now she's in Montreal and doing cool shit. So we're going to have her on to talk about her career as a filmmaker and like kind of where she, you know, how she got where she
is.
And then also her activism and stuff like that. So that'll be next week when we record.
That's awesome.
Woo!
We'll have her on here, hopefully.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Four little All right. boxes with people in them.
Yeah, and then we got other guests lined up for the weeks after that, too. I don't want to reveal those just in case they fall through before then, but we've got some cool shit on the go, including an episode where none of us are going to be on it. I haven't told you about that yet either. I'm replacing everyone. That's my plan anyway.
Have you made
in 2 or 3 weeks? We'll be doing live streams, by the way, twitch.tv/thisisfalse. We're gonna start doing live streams Thursday. We're gonna do our first like real one. Mo and I did one last week that was just like, hey, how does this stupid thing work, where we just like look like boomers who didn't know what we were doing.
Do I gotta put on pants for this? Do I have to wear pants?
I think our views would go up if you weren't wearing pants, to be honest.
All right, I'll do it.
In a video game.
In a video game.
I'll shit my underwear for the left. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what we got going on. And, okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.